WBSM presents The Tim Weisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Weisberg Show.
Welcome back in the third and final hour here on Wednesday morning. And, of course, it is Elvis's birthday. It's also David Bowie's birthday. So we'll play some Bowie. Although my favorite Bowie song is probably one that you probably aren't familiar with, but is from his 90s kind of industrial era when he was making music with Trent Reznor and all that. So stay tuned for that. We also will take more of your phone calls at 508-996-0500. We can continue our talk about our discussion with new council president Shane Burgo after we speak with our guest. We are joined now by the one and only Teresa Caputo. You know her worldwide as the Long Island Medium, and she's the star of the new Lifetime series, Raising Spirits. She is coming to Massachusetts. Coming up in February, she'll be at the Chevalier Theater in Medford, Wednesday, February 5th, and Friday, February 7th. And we'll tell you all about how you can get tickets to that event. But first, Teresa, I want to say good morning, and thanks for joining us.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it very much. I'm very excited to be coming to Medford.
And so I'm assuming you've probably spent some time in Massachusetts before. Long Island isn't that far away from Massachusetts. I find that we are a very kind of spiritual people here. I don't know if you would agree with that.
I agree with that 100%. But I also do feel, Tim, a lot of people that do follow me are very spiritual, right? So, but especially up in the Massachusetts area.
People have seen you on television now for years. They've seen Long Island Medium, Raising Spirits, but kind of explain to them what they can expect when they come to the show at the Chevalier Theater, because I know that your shows are a little bit different than the way that, the things that people see on TV might have been.
Right. You know, the only thing different is, yes, there's, you know, maybe thousands of people in the audience, but I just want to share with you at first that it's such a beautiful experience. To be in a theater filled with thousands of people and strangers and to feel and to watch someone heal right in front of you is something, you can't even describe it. And, you know, just like anything that you see on TV, I come out, I give a little quick speech on how I read, how I communicate with spirits. And then once I start sensing and feeling things, I allow the souls of the departed to guide me around the theater. I randomly stop in front of someone, start saying things that mean absolutely nothing to me, but more importantly, are life-changing to the person that I'm standing in front of.
And as you said, you get to see in real time how they're reacting to that. And I know that that's something that, you know, can have an effect on you personally, because you're seeing this gift that you've been given being utilized to benefit somebody else and to make their lives better.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I think what I do is so much more than just communicating with people that have died. And, you know, and I get it. I'm the first one to say this is crazy. How can this be, right? But spirit kind of gives us that permission. Like, even if you come to the show and maybe you personally didn't lose someone, they give us our faith back. And I actually just had someone come up to me the other night. I was at a party, and this gentleman said to me, he said, you know, I struggled with my faith. I struggled with God. I struggled with an afterlife. He says, but after watching your show, he says, I want to thank you for giving me my faith. And, you know, to know that the work that I do and spirit gives people that ability to live their life, you know, with a little bit of hope and faith. And that's what we all need, right?
Well, and it's not only that, too, but it's a matter of it kind of opens up your whole belief system, your whole mindset. It changes your whole worldview, and you realize that we are part of something that's greater and bigger. So whatever our personal connections are to those who have gone on, we realize that, you know, we're all part of something bigger, and we'll all be reunited together at some point.
Absolutely. And I say it simply that soul bonds can never and will never be broken. You know, I want people to, when they leave my show, knowing that all the things that go on around them that they think that might be odd or weird or maybe just a coincidence or just might remind them of their loved one that has died, to know that that is their soul reminding us that they're with us at that exact moment.
And when you are having these messages come to you, I mean, I've talked to a lot of people with abilities over the years, and I'm always fascinated by how the gift works for each person because it works a little bit differently for everybody, I find. How does it kind of come to you, and how do you filter through to know, you know, what I'm assuming it's a lot coming at you at one time.
Yeah. So what happens is I let the souls guide me. I will just, and I can't explain it. I don't even know how this works. I just start sensing and feeling things. For me, it's more of like a knowing. When I first see souls, I see them like as shadows and silhouettes, and then they make me feel an emotional bond that they shared with that person. Then they will physically bring me through their departure. So I will physically feel what they felt as their soul left the physical body. So like if someone passed of the heart or chest or lungs, I'll have difficulty breathing. Sometimes I'll feel a restriction around my throat. Sometimes I'll feel as if someone hit me in the back of the head. I'll taste blood, which means someone left the physical world tragically. And then they'll show me a sign or symbol in my frame of reference of the burden or guilt that that person is holding on to that is not giving them the ability to heal.
I mean, it's amazing how when you have that type of a connection and that type of an ability, how you can feel all of these things, you know, because you think about it as everybody has their different ways of interpreting the world around them, but you're getting all of those sensations kind of all at the same time.
Absolutely. And it isn't easy. I make what I do look easy, but for some reason, it's a knowing, like I just know what to do and there is no plan. The only plan every night is me just go walking out on that stage. That's the only plan we have.
Well, I mean, you also put on a very entertaining show around being able to have these connections and give these readings. So are there ever nights that you go out there and it takes a little while to kind of get a spirit to get your attention? Or when you go out there, is it more like everybody's got their hands up at once? Like, hey, Teresa, you know, this, or in the spirit world, all the spirits are like, hey, Teresa, pick me.
Usually those are the people in the audience, Tim.
True, yeah.
But, no, you know what it is? It's like, and what I love is it really shows that it really is the souls that guide me. Because when I randomly stop in front of someone, it's just like I just stop and I just start staring at someone. And they might be like, I didn't come here to get read. I came with my friend. I had an extra ticket. Or I came for support for my brother-in-law who lost his wife. And it's just, it never ceases to amaze me on how spirit guides me and what they have me do and say. And that's the thing also, is that every live show is never the same. Because I have souls, and like you said, it was entertaining. I feel we need the levity. We need the laughter. They're very heavy messages that we have to hear. And, you know, for a soul to give us that, you know, for them to take us on this emotional roller coaster, right, of where we feel all of the pain and the sorrow and the grief, and then in the next moment have me say or do something to bring a smile to someone's face and even laughter throughout the theater. To me, I think that's the greatest gift spirit can give us and one of the most things that I treasure most about the experience, because people don't know how to live after the loss of a loved one. Some people don't want to live. They don't know how to smile. They don't know how to laugh. The burden or the guilt is so heavy. And to watch someone smile, and souls will say that. They'll say, that's the first time I've seen my mom smile since the day that I died. And to watch perfect strangers console one another, to me, that is something that is just so beautiful.
And as you know, and as people should be aware, when you do buy a ticket to one of Teresa's show, you know, obviously she can't get to everybody in the audience, so not everybody is guaranteed to have a reading. But the people who don't get the reading get to see the people go through this journey, and it will resonate with them as well. So even though they might have a loved one that they were hoping to speak with, seeing somebody else be able to have that communication and realizing that they can hear you and you can have conversations with them on your own, even if you can't hear them back, they can hear you. That can help the people who are just sitting around the others have a healing journey as well.
Absolutely. You know, I say this all the time. People, you leave feeling different, even if you don't get read. People say it after every live show. They will say, I had no idea what to expect when I walked into the theater. I personally did not get read, but what I witnessed was absolutely life-changing. And then they'll go on to say, and I realized that the people that did get read truly needed to hear from their loved ones more than I did. And to me, that just shows on how powerful the experience truly is.
And really, when you think about it, it is something that we are blessed to have this type of interaction, to be able to know that there is something that goes beyond, and we just have to open our minds to it. What do you say to the people, though, who come to the show because somebody else dragged them, and you know they're skeptical about the whole thing? How do you get them to open their minds to what it is that you're able to do?
I say this. You don't have to. What I do is not about believing in me or mediums. I don't care if people believe in what I do. That's not what the experience is about. It's about spirit reminding us that there is an afterlife, and that for them to know that the things that they sense and feel, and it reminds them of their loved ones, to know that that is real, that they're not crazy. It's not their imagination. It's not wishful thinking. Because majority of the time, people will say, well, I don't know, I'm a little skeptical, and then, you know, spirit will have me say things. I'm like, yeah, I've never told anyone that. I did experience that. That did happen. And I just feel that the souls of the departed use my physical body to validate for us that they are still with us, just in a different way.
And one question that I like to ask people that have abilities is, do you feel that this is something that is around us, that everybody could tap into, and some people like yourself are just naturally more gifted at it? Or is it a skill that you were able to develop? What is this ability, and kind of how does it work?
Well, for me, Tim, I was born this way. I remember from the age of four, seeing people standing at the foot of my bed, people speak to me in a room, and there was no one else in the room but myself. And growing up, I would say to my mom, I feel different. I don't belong here. And, you know, I come from a spiritual family, so no one ever really made a big deal about those things. And I struggled with my gift for many years because I couldn't understand why I was sensing and feeling all of these things. And 9/11 happened. And I was shown that thousands of people perished that day, and people were left with burdens and guilt. And I just put my gift in God's hands and said, if this is what I'm supposed to do here in the physical world, I will walk through them with my gift, but you have to open the doors for me. And here I am, 25 years later. So I don't know really how this works. I didn't ask for it. The only thing that I, if you want to say, quote unquote, learned, was I had to understand what it was Spirit was showing me and making me feel. And that's how I built my spirit library. And I know we all have that connection to connect with our own departed loved ones. For some reason, I'm able to connect with everyone's loved ones. And I just think some people are more spiritually connected or more empathic. And I think I don't mean to sound cliche or corny, but I think that we were all born to do special and amazing things. And we all are special in our own way. And we just have to find that. And soul searching is really hard.
Well, people will get to see you and utilize those gifts and maybe even get a reading themselves when they come to see you at the Chevalier Theater in Medford, Wednesday, February 5th, Friday, February 7th. Tickets are on sale at Ticketmaster.com. And, of course, everybody can go to TeresaCaputo.com to find out about your books, your TV shows, your podcast, all of that. But before we let you go, Teresa, I got one question that I've always wanted to ask you. My best friend, Stephanie Burke, is a psychic medium, and I've seen her give readings, and I've seen how drained she gets after the end of this, all the energy that's gone from her. When you get off stage after one of these shows, what's in the contract, Ryder? What do you need to have to bring your energy level back up after giving so much of yourself to the spirit world?
There's nothing in my rider. I get on the bus, I take off my makeup, I wash my face, I sit down, have a nice cup of tea, wait for my crew to get on the bus, and I go to bed.
That's it. That's all you need. There's no pizza waiting or anything like that.
No. Hey, I got to get into a dress the next night. There's no pizza for me.
Well, I'm going to remember that. Next time Stephanie says, hey, I need some snacks, I'm going to say Teresa Caputo doesn't need snacks after her show.
Well, you know what it is? Sometimes I will say I crave salt. Sometimes I'll need something like salty. And I don't know why, but other nights it's just like, you know what, I just got to go to bed, and I do my little meditation and I go to bed.
Well, I hope that you have a nice, easy night on the energy levels and that everybody comes out to see you at the Chevalier Theater, both those on this plane of existence and on the other side as well. And we look forward to seeing you at the show. Should be a great time again. Wednesday, February 5th, Friday, February 7th. Get your tickets now at Ticketmaster.com and go to TeresaCaputo.com to find out more about Teresa and her work. Thank you so much for joining us this morning, Teresa.
Oh, thank you so much. And I hope you'll come down and check out the show.
Just if anybody, you know, says anything, anybody from the spirit world starts spilling any of my secrets, you got to keep them to yourself, okay?
I sure will. No worries.
All right. Thank you so much. Take care.
But I appreciate your time. Have a great day.
You too.
And just what a great energy and what a great ability to be able to have to give people that gift of healing. And maybe it's not for you. Maybe you're not somebody that ever wants to have a mediumship reading. Maybe you don't want to connect with those on the other side, but I guarantee you know somebody who does. So you can bring them to that show and see what happens. But you know what happens is it's always the person who doesn't want the reading, who just goes with somebody else, that Teresa ends up stopping and standing in front of and making that connection for. So, and if you are interested in finding out more about that world, well, you know, we've got 700 and something episodes of Spooky South Coast for you to check out. And we are going to be coming back with that program probably later on this month. And just got to get everything together with Matt Moniz and Stephanie Burke about their schedules. And of course, Stephanie now has a little baby. So that's going to hurt her availability a little bit, but that's all right. You know, we don't want to wake the baby up and have to have her, be awake all night long just to do a 2-hour show. We're talking about some different options, maybe even moving the time around or something to make it a little bit easier for everybody. But we'll have more details for you on that coming up in the next few weeks. Right now, though, let me take a break. When we come back on the other side, more with you, 508-996-0500. App chat and open line voicemails are open on the WBSM app. We'll be back in a few moments.
With her 100 miles.
Probably not the David Bowie song you were expecting to hear for his birthday today, but that is The Heart's Filthy Lesson. And probably best known for being in the end credits of the movie Seven, which I guess has just been released in IMAX. I haven't seen Seven in a long time. Maybe I should go track down an IMAX theater that's playing it and go see it on the big screen. But yeah, that's what I think most people know that song from. But that's my favorite Bowie song, because when I was a high schooler, that came out. I think I was in my junior or senior year of high school when that came out. And I had the single of that song before the album came out. because I saw the video on MTV and thought it was like the coolest song. So I bought the single. Remember those? And I was driving around in my 1985 Reliant K with no exhaust around the Cranberry Bog roads and the back roads of West Wareham, at 1 o'clock in the morning listening to that song. That's what I used to do. I used to just drive around because gas was cheap. It was like a buck a gallon. And I didn't have anything else going on. I would just drive around listening to music. And that was a song I would put on quite a bit on my K-single. Kids, they used to have these things called cassette. Actually, kids are getting back into cassettes, so they know what I'm talking about. Anyway, it's time to go into the newsroom and get all the top stories of the day from Phil Devitt.
America says goodbye to Jimmy Carter. Why the U.S. Justice Department is suing six major landlords. And good news for those with medical debt.
From the WBSM Newsroom, this is WBSM News.
Nearly 44 years after Jimmy Carter left the nation's capital, the 39th president returned to Washington for 3 days of state funeral rites starting on Tuesday. Carter's remains, which had been lying in repose at the Carter Presidential Center since Saturday, left the Atlanta campus on Tuesday morning. Carter will be buried in Georgia. Las Vegas police revealed on Tuesday that the soldier who detonated a Tesla Cybertruck outside the Trump Hotel used ChatGPT to plan the attack. The investigation found that the man used the AI tool to research explosives and ammunition. While ChatGPT is designed to be harmless, the incident highlights the potential for misuse of the technology. The Biden administration asked a federal appeals court on Tuesday to block a plea agreement for accused 9/11 mastermind Khalid Sheikh Mohammed that would spare him the risk of the death penalty in one of the deadliest attacks ever on the United States. The Justice Department argued in a brief filed with a federal appeals court in the District of Columbia that the government would be irreparably harmed if the guilty pleas were accepted for Mohammed and two co-defendants in the September 11th attacks. It said the government would be denied a chance for a public trial and the opportunity to seek capital punishment against three men charged with a heinous act of mass murder that caused the deaths of thousands of people and shocked the nation and the world. The U.S. Justice Department is suing six major landlords for allegedly colluding to keep rents high. The lawsuit claims the company shared sensitive data and used an algorithm to set prices, effectively stifling competition. This comes as millions of Americans struggle to afford rent amid a nationwide housing crisis. NASA is seeking a cheaper and faster way to bring Mars samples back to Earth. The original plan ballooned to $11 billion with a return date after 2040. Administrator Bill Nelson scrapped the initial plan, citing the high cost and delays. NASA now exploring two more affordable options, including one utilizing innovative designs from commercial partners. The revised plans aim to return the samples in the 2030s, potentially as early as 2035. Final decision will be made next year following detailed engineering studies. And millions of Americans will soon see a boost to their credit scores. The Consumer Financial Protection Bureau has issued a new rule that bans the inclusion of medical debt on credit reports. The significant change will make it easier for people to qualify for loans, including mortgages and car loans, while also protecting consumers from predatory debt collection practices related to medical bills.
WBSM Sports.
Bruins next game away with the Tampa Bay Lightning on Thursday. Celtics next game home with the Sacramento Kings on Friday. New England Patriots have interviewed Byron Leftwich and Pep Hamilton as they search for a new head coach following the firing of Gerard Mayo after a disappointing season.
Now your ABC 6 South Coast forecast.
Mostly sunny and windy today, a high of 28. On Thursday, partly cloudy and windy with a high of 29. On Friday, mostly sunny with a high of 39. This WBSM News Update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy. Only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven. I'm Phil Devitt for WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's news talk station, WBSM. And get all of our content and breaking news alerts with a WBSM app.
Girl, you're going.
course, the other birthday boy, Elvis Presley, one of my favorite Elvis songs. I think my favorite is Suspicious Minds. Burning Love might be number two. It's one of those few songs that actually makes it that I got to tap my foot and dance a little bit. I also love It's Now or Never. I mean, so much. I don't think there's such a thing as a bad Elvis song. I don't really listen to the gospel stuff, but other than that, pretty much anything Elvis does is amazing. And check out that documentary that came out about the 68 comeback special. I think it's on Netflix, right? It was very, very well done. But that was Burning Love. And there's nothing better than a nice hunk of burning love, except for maybe one of the value lunches at Brack's Grill and Tap. That's right. You know, Brack's Grill and Tap in Taunton and Brockton is a great place to go for a dinner out and appetizers with your friends and having some great drinks, but it's also a great place to go for lunch because their lunch value menu Monday through Friday is just $12.99. So you can get things like the Saucy Bird chicken sandwich. You can get their pasta of the day or get a half pizza and salad combo. You can get some of their famous brisket chili, their Portuguese kale soup, their classic clam chowder. You want a burger? Their bourbon bacon burger is amazing. You know what I like to get? And it's probably a great lunch item. I don't think it's on the $12.99 value menu, though, but it's a great thing to have for lunch. Get that 1 pound meatball, but share it. Don't eat a whole pound of meat yourself. Not in lunchtime. You can also get chicken and waffles, barbecue turkey tips, so much more. They've even got a kids menu. So check out Brack's Grill and Tap in Taunton and Brockton and check them out online at bracksgrillandtap.com. And what's really great about Brack's, too, is the atmosphere there. It's a place where you can go and have a few drinks, watch the game, or also have a nice, you know, quiet dinner with the family, too. It's the best of both worlds. And the Taunton location is right by the highway. Actually, so is the Brockton location, too. So you can just zip down, have yourself dinner, zip on home, and get back into your nice, warm house. You don't even have to be out in the cold all that much. So check out Brack's Grill and Tap in Taunton and Brockton. All right, 508-996-0500. That's my number here. We were talking earlier about the Shane Burgo interview yesterday. As I was saying this morning, I think he addressed a lot of the concerns that people had. I didn't find that there were, you know, he didn't tap dance around any of the answers. He took those questions on straightforward. He is not for defunding the police. And he realizes that, yeah, some organizations that he has been involved with or supported have had that philosophy, but that even those organizations have changed those philosophies. And by the way, defund the police is another boogeyman. Defund the police isn't about getting rid of police. The idea of the original defund the police movement was about not giving police military-grade weapons. It was about not giving them the ability to spy on people. I mean, I don't know if you're aware of this, but the police can just randomly run your plate. And some people don't like that idea. Some people think that is, you know, it leads to the idea of profiling. Well, why did you run my plate? Well, for what reason? Is it because I'm a minority? Is it because my car looked like the kind of car that a drug dealer might drive? What was the reason why you ran my plate? So these are some of the concerns that people had. That's what they're talking about with defunding the police. They're talking about not turning them into a paramilitary organization, not turning them into, and also weeding out the bad people in that position of power, because there are bad people as there are in any career field. It's not about getting rid of cops. It's not about refusing to give them the money that they need to operate. And shouldn't we all be about getting rid of people who are doing the job the wrong way? So he spoke about that. He spoke about whether or not he's for these tent cities, whether or not he's for rent stabilization anymore. And as he said, he's still about rent stabilization. He still would like to see it happen, but he knows that it's not going to. So it's not something that he's going to pursue. And we'll get into any other concerns that you have about him when he comes back in for his, you know, regularly, when we schedule these regularly scheduled appearances. Well, any other issues that you have, he's happy to address them head on. He says he likes taking calls. He likes being able to answer the questions directly. And he's going to do that. 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're on WBSM.
Hey, Tim. I know this is my second call, but when you brought up defund the police and tried to make an excuse for it or try to redefine it, yeah, I figured I had to call in.
How am I redefining it?
Well, maybe it's not redefining in the traditional sense, but defund the police is a terrible marketing slogan. And that was a marketing slogan that the progressive left made themselves. They said defund the police. So when I say defund anything, it means take the money away. So it may have meant something completely different, where, you know, we're not bringing ATVs out here. I'm not ATVs, but armored vehicles out here. We're not bringing in you know, military-grade drones or anything like that, or, you know, Black Hawk helicopters. That might be what they meant, but they should have said reform the police, not defund the police.
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely.
I'm all about reforming. I'm about reforming government as a total, as a whole. That's why I'm completely in favor of DOGE at the federal level. But defund the police was a terrible marketing thing. Like, that is... You want to increase budgeting for the policemen themselves and give them the tools that enable them to keep the streets safe, but you can reform it where they're no longer getting armored vehicles. It's just a terrible marketing slogan.
Oh, and also
did themselves.
And also, no doubt too, that there are people who, you know, were of the mindset of we should get rid of all cops who co-opted that as well. But I was just saying that wasn't, you know, the original intention behind it. And if you signed up for that movement or that, you know, organization or whatever you want to call it, it doesn't mean that you were for those things, you know. So you could have been for the original idea of, yeah, let's take away the, you know, let's not make them a paramilitary organization. But then it becomes like, same thing happened with Black Lives Matter, where people got involved in that because they felt that the intentions were right. And then we know some people utilize that, you know, to their own advantage. So it doesn't mean that everybody that was involved in that movement was also looking to line their own pockets from it.
So in more like an expansion of what we were talking about in regards to defund the police, I am in favor of them having the same grade weapons that are available on the black market, because you have to remember the bad guys have the bad stuff, right? So if we're sending out our police to protect us, and the enemy being the criminal, like any type of drug cartel or gang, they have access to these massive arrays of different high-powered rifles and automatic weapons. We saw it in Blue Meadows, automatic weapons. And our cops don't have the ability to defend themselves against that type of stuff. So we need to ensure that they do have that type of apparatus to defend themselves. Now, on the same note, they shouldn't be able to wiretap me, you know, have any type of like spying capability or any type of military vehicles, but firepower in regards to their guns, it should match what's on the black market in regards to what the criminals have, because the criminals are going to get it regardless of how many gun laws you put in place.
Fair point. All right. Thank you for the call.
You got it, Jim.
And let's take another one here before we got to take a break. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Yeah, good morning. You know, which I listened to in the morning, you were talking about police running plates. And I got a great story about that. A friend of mine's wife, who happens to be extremely attractive, got pulled over maybe East Providence or something, maybe by a state cop. And he said, your plate's been running like 25 times with no stops. Well, I don't think you have to be of much of imagination to know why her plates were run, you know. And again, to make your point, there you go. Shouldn't be done. That's all I'm going to back you up on that point. Thank you.
All right. Thank you for the call. Yeah, I mean, to know that it's been run that many times without being stopped. I mean, but I also wonder, you know, how many times does somebody's plate get run? And the technology is getting so much better that it becomes harder to actually argue it. I got pulled over for speeding, and I've only been pulled over for speeding once. I was having an issue with my car, and I was trying to get off the road as fast as I could because I was afraid I was going to break down. And I was just trying to get to the exit. It turned out to be okay. It wasn't a big deal. But I was going too fast, trying to get to the exit before the car shut down. And I got pulled over on the way. And I was afraid when I pulled over the car and started it, turned it off, it wouldn't start up again. But whatever the issue was, kind of cleared it out. But I got pulled over for going too fast. And it said on the ticket that it was, the speed was taken by LIDAR. And I went and, you know, met with the mediator, and they said, well, what do they call it? The, you know, anyway, you know what I mean? Not a judge. And they said, you know, well, this is your first speeding ticket. So if you don't, you know, if you don't get another one, we're going to wipe this one away. If you do get another one, we're going to enforce this one and make you pay the fine. So, but they said that because it was by LIDAR, you can't dispute that. Radar, you can dispute it. You can say, no, I wasn't going that fast. But LIDAR, they don't let you dispute it because of the technology is that good. So not only are they utilizing this technology, but the technology is improving. I mean, how do you feel about it? Should they be able to just run your plate for no reason without any kind of suspicion of there being anything wrong? They're just running it to see, gee, I wonder if this person, you know, has any active warrants, or if this person has any, you know, if the car has insurance or anything like that. But, you know, that's a conversation we can get into in a different time as well. Right now, I've got to take my next break. We'll be back in a few moments. Again, what'd you think about the Burgo discussion yesterday? And what do you want to hear him address in the future when he comes back? Because it is going to be an ongoing series of discussions over the course of the year. 508-996-0500. We'll be right back. You know where.
Life's begun. Nights are warm and the days are young. Come, brother, this might be the lost, that's all. Hopes are big and you save a little soul.
And that's the other birthday boy, David Bowie. And maybe you're in your golden years. If you are a retiree and you're looking for a little extra money, maybe you're a stay-at-home parent. Maybe you're just looking for an extra level of income for your home. Trembly Bus Company desperately needs school bus drivers, monitors, and van drivers. It's a great way to earn great pay while also supporting local students. And don't worry if you don't have your CDL. They are willing to train you if you are willing to learn. So how do you find out about how to get the process started? Well, all you have to do is go to Trembly Bus Company's website, tbcbus.com. TBC, Trembly Bus Company, tbcbus.com. And again, retirees, stay-at-home parents, people looking for a second job with, you know, a set schedule that'll make it easier for you to plan the rest of your day. You would be the perfect fit to be a school bus driver, monitor, or van driver. Again, tbcbus.com. And we got an app chat message during the last segment here. We had a couple of them, but hold on. I got to open them up because they're longer. So give me a second here as it moves slowly because it knows I'm waiting for it. So Not Bad and Oak Bluff says, one of the most misleading critiques of the Defund the Police movement was instigating, which means abolishment. Opposers claim the movement undermines public safety through its efforts to end policing. The truth, the movement seeks to demilitarize police departments and reallocate funding to train mental health workers and social workers. And then we also got a message from NB resident who, again, let me load it up here. A friend of mine is a retired officer, and he once explained Defund the Police referred to taking some of the more unsuitable responsibilities off their plates and direct them to more appropriate professionals. For example, if someone's child is being difficult and doesn't want to go to school, they call the police, but a child care worker or therapist may be more suitable. If someone is having a medical episode, police respond, but really can't do much. Defunding would push those types of calls to other professionals. And those are both absolutely great points in exactly what they're talking about with that movement. But again, as I was talking about with Ray, you know, other people have come in and co-opted that and said, no, we would just want, you know, no police at all. We want very limited policing. And so they have just kind of co-opted what that originally meant. And then, of course, the rhetoric will also bastardize what the original movement was all about to begin with as well. Got to take one final break here. We'll be right back. All right, let's finish things off with a call. Good morning. You are next on WBSM.
Yeah, good morning. So I'll give you a comment that you asked about. And it's going to be style versus substance, or, you know, sizzle and no steak, which is most politicians. But my thoughts are, you know, and you can comment. One is 20 minutes late. And two is pretty arrogant and cocky about, you know, being a public servant answering questions, maybe even more defensive. So on style, doesn't seem like you did all that great being late and, you know, being a little bit, you know, overconfident or cocky on the answer. So what do you think?
I mean, I didn't get cocky. I got more, I got pushback. No, but I don't think he was being cocky. I think he was, you know, standing up for himself. I don't think it was cockiness. I think it was more of a defense. That was the way I took it.
Do you think that a public servant should be 20 minutes late?
I don't think that being 20 minutes late matters. Everybody's trying to make a big deal out of that.
Okay. So if you're... So if you show up for a court hearing and they say be there at 11 and you show up at 20 past and they don't hear your case, I guess that's not important.
So
this is the thing.
So the next time that Chris McCarthy's having an elected official on and they're 20 minutes late because they're stuck at the bridge, are you going to hold them to the same standard?
It's an excellent point, but that just shows again that's the style that I'm talking about, right? And in politicians, it's all about style. And not substance and sizzle, not steak. It's how they look. It's how they speak. It's, you know, could be timely. It could be how they address their constituents. And by being late and maybe being a little bit, you know, short-sighted says to me, you know, I really don't care what other people think. It's my agenda. I'm the one that's important. And then I think that's what happens a lot of times in local politics, i.e. like on a city council, less so on a state rep or state senator. It ends up being more about the individual person and nobody cares anymore. Just like you're saying, so he's late, so what, whatever. That's why no one cares about local politics anymore. And that's why we have the government or the local municipalities that we have, because it's exactly your attitude. Who cares? So what? It doesn't.